My name's Mike Rowe, and this is my job.
I explore the country looking for people who aren't afraid to get dirty.
Oh, dear.
Hard-working men and women who earn an honest living.
You smell it?
I do.
Yeah, it stinks.
It sure does.
Doing the kinds of jobs that make civilized life possible for the rest of us.
Now, get ready to get dirty.
Coming up on Dirty Jobs, wine is best stored in a cool, dry place, like a cave. But if you want a cave in the Napa Valley, you have to dig it for yourself.
I think it'd be very easy for a guy of your knowledge and depth to run this machine and help us tunnel.
Have you seen the show?
Wine caves were first dug here in the 1880s. It's more high-tech now, but not much cleaner.
This is just nuts!
Then, at Kansas City International Airport, handling baggage is no fly-by-night operation.
I'm thinking, how could it go wrong? The real question is, how can it go right?
Getting people and their bags to the same place at the same time takes coordination, muscle, and some equipment I'm quite familiar with.
Knee pads.
All right, how do you slow this thing down?
You work faster?
And later, the dirtiest thing at the Kansas City Airport doesn't have wings. It's an incinerator.
We burn the trash.
International trash. Stuff that we don't want in the United States.
It's an international incident, as I see up close how it works. That is, if it works.
Stop!
Oh, God.
The wine country here in Northern California is like no other place on earth. Here in Napa Valley, you'd have to look long and hard to find a view that wasn't stunning or majestic or spectacular. Oh, there's one.
It seems as though I might have stumbled upon a major construction site. This story is supposed to be about a winery, but it wouldn't be the first time that Greg, our production coordinator, sent us to the wrong place. I guess we'll just have to make the best of it. There must be some kind of dirty job inside a tunnel. I wonder if anybody's home.
So I'm a few hundred yards down in some sort of a hole here, and this is John, right?
John Shook, yes.
John, it's nice to meet you. John's got a flashlight, and he's shining it on the wall as if he's looking for something.
Inspecting our trailing cable. It's a high-voltage cable that we use to power our tunneling machine.
Let me back up a little bit. Where in the world am I?
Right now, you're in Napa, California, in a wine cave. We're about 40 feet below the surface, and we're digging a cave for the purpose of storing wine barrels.
How big will this thing be when it's all said and done?
16 to 17,000 square feet of underground space.
And how do you actually dig it? I mean, you got guys down here with shovels? What's happening?
We use a mechanized machine known as a road header. If you would like, we can take a walk over, and I'll show it to you. Just right behind you.
Oh. Oh, now this is a machine. How complicated would it be for a guy like me to figure out how to run a machine like this?
I think it'd be very easy for a guy of your knowledge and depth to run this machine and help us tunnel today.
Have you seen the show?
What's this?
It's our JCB.
JCD?
JCB. This is all of our pre-shift lubrication equipment.
Pre-shift lubrication equipment.
My foreman Chicho he's got all the equipment necessary so that we can pre-shift this machine. It takes an awful lot of lubricant.
Chicho?
Hi.
You take an awful lot of lubricant, do you? Sorry to hear that. What am I looking at here precisely?
That's the safety belt. That's going to be your safety belt.
Yeah, because I'm noticing you guys each have one. Yeah, give me a safety belt.
You got almost all your tools on it?
Sure.
That's your light there. And that one, they got a clip right here in the heart.
And this is air?
That's another, that's your cell rescue.
Okay.
That's your pipe wrench.
But you never know when you're going to need a pipe wrench.
Your crescent wrench.
And a crescent wrench.
That's the more important in this job.
Why is that?
So you can have 2017, you don't have to go get 916, half inch, you got crescent wrench easy.
Chicho, let me ask you something. Are you the driver of this machine as well?
Yes.
How much of this cave did you personally dig?
Most of it all.
So we're talking thousands of square feet.
Thousands and
all,
thousands.
All you.
Yeah.
So this starts it up?
That's this one that started up. But before that we start it up, we have to service the machine.
Service the machine.
Yes, every morning we have to service the machine.
Because this is really the star of the show.
Exactly. This is a little air compressor that we got. And try to plug it in there.
Cool. All right.
Okay, we let it fill it up with the air. This is the grease pump. You have to grab your hose. Okay, make sure you don't got dirt on it. Grab it. Put it in there. And start pumping. You hear the pump? That grease coming out right there, right?
Yeah, it is.
Good. That means that's good, that one.
And how many of these do we have on the whole machine?
I don't count in yet, but they are some on it.
You got a few.
They got a few on it.
Okay.
Pump it. They got another one right here.
Yep.
So you got another one right there in that hole. Watch out. You're going to get grease all over you.
That's all right. Nothing hadn't happened before.
Oh, you got one more than that in the bottom. See it right there in that side? One, two, three, four.
We're not ever really going to drive this, are we? Nah, it's a little dirty in there.
This way.
You think the machine appreciates what we're doing?
Oh, yeah, that's my baby.
Yeah, that's the kind of familiarity, you know, a man and his machine can have after years of togetherness.
We got two more to go.
Oh, come on. When do we get to turn it on?
Couple minutes. The one that we have to change, that's that one right there.
Right.
See, that one got diamond on it.
So it's supposed to have this tip on it.
Exactly.
Probably it's got to be replaced.
Yeah.
That's the job.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have some lubricant.
So.
My throat.
You got.
Go ahead, I'll be fine.
You fine?
Yeah, good.
Oh, you need more air?
No. Air. Air's for wimps. I've been here 3 hours. Pretty sure I'm never going to get to run the road header.
Let's clip it in. This is the ring they're coming out. See how they're coming out?
You don't have a special tool, do you?
That's your special tool.
Yeah, that's very, very fancy. Broken rebar.
You almost got it, huh?
I thought we were making music.
This coming now.
Son of a bit.
Let's get a new one. Let me go get a clamp.
You go get a clamp. I'll keep an eye on the new one. Make sure it doesn't run off. Now you gotta spread it and put it on.
Uh-huh.
Now see, this is the right tool for the job, for sure.
There you go. See, now you got it.
Oh yeah, I'm an old hand now.
Well, I think that's time to go so you can run the machine.
Sounded like you just said, I might run the machine?
Maybe you can operate now the machine.
You know, I believe you're teasing me. I'm going to start to walk toward the controls, and then you're going to say, Mike, there's one more thing.
One more thing?
I'm just waiting. It's like Columbo, this guy. One more thing.
We have to pick all the tools first.
One more thing. I just got it. One more thing.
Coming up.
It's time to drive the machine.
The road header's top speed is about half a mile an hour. But it does it while digging through a hillside.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 flights.
14 flights.
In baggage handling, heavy lifting is only half the job. The other half is knowing which heavy things to lift.
We don't want that.
Yeah, we don't?
No, we want that.
Yeah, we want that.
Sure we do.
And later.
It's kind of shaky. That's normal,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Good.
It'll settle down.
What goes down into the incinerator must come up.
Uh-oh.
As long as the elevator's working.
I appear to be stuck in a pit.
Well, it's been 2.5 hours. The road header has been greased lovingly, oiled meticulously, and maintained by 1.5 professionals. Finally, it's time to drive the machine.
Move forward.
Let's go forward. Now, so right there, wait.
Okay.
Okay, now let's turn the head on. Okay. Now let it go. Okay.
Oh, yeah, now we got
the cut ahead.
Got it.
All right. Now turn your chain on.
The object here is to keep the cutting head under the red paint line. G Shane runs a conveyor that takes the dirt under the machine to be picked up and removed by a loader.
Go sideways, all the way to the side. Watch out with everyone. Okay, there we go. Close down.
I'm digging a hole.
Yeah, oh,
the tunnel is 14 feet wide and 11 feet high at this point. And right now, there's about 10 to 15 feet of dirt between us and the surface.
We're running a little bit behind schedule. We got a big event planned today. We're actually going to let you break through to the other side of this mountain.
You're going to let me break on through to the other side? On the hole you've been working on for the last 4.5 months?
See?
Based on what you just put me through over there, getting your baby ready.
I think that's fair.
All right, so what do, John? We drive this down to where? The end?
We're gonna back her out, and we're gonna pull it down to the end of the tunnel, and you and Chicho can have a little bit more of a discussion as to who's gonna hold the throttle as you take the baby through the other side. All right, let's get us there.
All right.
Nordby Wine Caves is dug over 30 caves in the California counties of Napa and Sonoma. They range in size from 2,000 to 18,000 square feet and take anywhere from 2 to 20 months to complete. In the 4.5 months, Chicho and his crew have been at it here. They've dug 600 feet into the hillside.
It's pretty much top speed right now on the road header. So maybe a half mile an hour, maybe a quarter. A little sluggish to the lower gears. Should be there in a couple days.
So this, Chicho, literally is the end of the road.
That's the end of the road.
And then that green dot, is that the laser you were talking about?
That's the laser I was talking about. We got another in the back.
Right.
That's to go the line, where you're heading, where you're going.
That's to let you know exactly
where
what straight is.
Exactly.
Well, that, I mean, how do you know, as you're coming through the tunnel with the machine, how do you know where to turn, when to, it must be math involved.
You're going
to
learn it. We have to have it 6.95 feet from the laser that way. The laser has to hit that point right there. From 6.95, it goes to 7.40. It's like right now, it's set up for 3% slope down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and that's the one that you are doing over there.
Dude, this math is killing me. This is like trigonometry.
Right on in the money.
And geometry.
You see how much you come down?
Calculus.
6, 7, 8, 9, 10. See, that's my whole point. So you have to hold them with your hand.
You have any idea how complicated this all is?
And I start painting those like this. Make sure that you don't move your hand. For this one, they have to be perfect. Same thing, you goes. Don't look your paint. Just try to look one point so you don't miss that paint right here. Because that way you make nice cave. Nice, see? You can see how the round it goes?
I see it. It's beautifully done.
See?
Look, you struck me originally as a very nice, intelligent fellow. I didn't realize you were actually brilliant. You're actually brilliant, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're smarter than me. Let's find some daylight.
Let's find those people outside.
Yeah, the people with the wine who are waiting for us.
They're waiting for us, so...
So, after starting here 4.5 months ago, the road header is now aimed at a precise spot less than 2 yards away on the other side of the hill.
Well, here's what it looks like from the other side. This is basically the target that Chicho's aiming for. All his fancy measurements and all his years of expertise are basically focused now right on this little bullseye. That's what a road header sounds like on the other side of the hill. I think it's about that far from my head right now. If he's true to his word, he's gonna let me hop on the thing. If I'm lucky, I'll hit the target. It's been nearly 5 months of work, none of which I participated in. However, I'm here for the glory. We're punching through.
Hold it. Push it down a little bit. Now, go forward. Okay. Oh! Now you can turn it up.
All right. Look at that.
Keep pouring?
Who's the owner of this joint?
Mike. Tom Porter.
Tom, how are you?
Porter Family Vineyards. Welcome.
Look at you go. Oh,
nice job.
Is this what you're growing here?
Oh, no. Red.
But this is what we're celebrating with.
Absolutely. Always.
Cheers.
Cheers.
I hope I didn't screw it up too bad. I definitely put a hole in your hill, though.
Dead center.
Chico. Cheers, everybody. Cheers, Chicho.
Cheers.
That was fun. Now, you might think it doesn't get much dirtier than this. You'd be wrong.
When I first walked into this cave, I noticed the cement walls. Well, guess what?
So as a roadheader goes through the earth, basically what, people follow behind and shore up what's torn out with what, concrete?
It's a gunite material, shotcrete with steel fibers, very strong material, holds back the earth pressure.
So this cave is going to be completely coated in, what'd you call it, gunite?
Gunite.
And that's a form of concrete or just a style of applying it?
Style of applying it, it's spray-on concrete.
Coming up.
This wouldn't be the first time this season I got knocked on my butt by some sort of concrete rifle.
Shotcreting prevents the collapse of cave walls, but it hastens the collapse of a TV host.
Things I'll do for a glass of wine.
Then,
so the bags have started, and it seems to be more of them than I thought.
In my day as a baggage handler, I learned some valuable travel tips.
People are watching this right now thinking, gosh, should I bring the extra pair of shoes? Don't bring the extra shoes.
And later,
how can a more horrible job get worse? I guess this is how.
When your job is kicking ash, sometimes the ash kicks back.
Barsky.
Something tells me the shadow on the wall does not bode well for what's to come. That's Gerardo, by the way.
This wouldn't be the first time this season I got knocked on my butt by some sort of concrete rifle, which is what this appears to be.
It's a gun with a trigger that's going to knock me backwards through that wall. It probably could, couldn't it?
Well, actually, this is worse than a gun because there's no trigger on it. You have very little control out of how fast it comes out. We just tell you to hold on, and we'll tell you when we're done.
It sounds like every disappointing relationship I've ever had. Okay.
The gunite is pumped under pressure through a large hose that's connected to a nozzle, which at this point in time is connected to me.
The mud's coming first, and then when you see the cement coming, then bring the nozzle up onto the wall.
You got it.
I hear something going in there.
It's gurgling.
Can you feel the tension? Well, man, that's disappointing.
Hey, Mike, don't forget we got to do the ceiling, too.
All right. Great.
Okay, that looks good.
Are you kidding me? This is a crazy job! This is a nut! That's just nuts, dude! That is just nuts! I've had some jobs. All of them dirty. But take a look at this guy. Him right there. That's in the top one. Shotcreting. Things I'll do for a glass of wine.
The controlled humidity and temperature underground are ideal conditions for storing wine, which is why they've been digging caves in the Napa Valley for over 120 years. And after experiencing shotcreting, it'll be another 120 before they get me back here to work on a cave ever again. Kansas City International is one of the largest airports in the United States, linking 10 million passengers between Mid-America and other U.S. and international cities. More than 11,000 pieces of luggage flow through here every day.
Hey, you ever wonder where your bags go?
after you've given them to the ticket agent and just kind of wave goodbye to them? Well, if you're at Kansas City International Airport and you're flying Southwest, they come here to a T-point where some guy named Shane tries to make sure they get to the right location.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm good, thanks.
Good, good.
So how's it work? You grab a bag, you look at a tag, figure out where it's going?
Yeah, that's it.
Indiana?
Indianapolis.
That's close.
Close.
Which one's that going?
It'll be this one right here.
Well, so far, I think I'm getting it.
Well, grab another bag and I'll tell you where it goes. Oh. Besides that one.
Sorting baggage. How hard could it be?
That's going to Indianapolis. This looks like it might be going to Denver.
Right, so we don't want that one because that goes up there.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 flights.
14 flights.
There's 71 flights a day into this terminal at Kansas City International. That's 71 departures and 71 arrivals to sort. Each baggage handler is responsible for 9 flights per work shift. But handlers who finish their flights early help others with theirs.
How many versions of you are down here?
5 of us. I have Baltimore bags on here.
Right.
They're going to Indy.
Why is that not on the board?
Because it's on somebody else's board. When all these bags come off in Indy, they'll take those bags, put it on the plane going to Baltimore.
Tampa, we don't want that.
Yeah, we don't?
No, we want that.
Yeah, we want that.
Sure we do. It goes right over there.
We said it over here.
It's a confusing business, Shane, I gotta say.
Because Chicago has the 638 flight. Kansas City has the 1744. So you always read from the bottom up.
So far, this is a snap. We do want Tampa?
Yeah. Indy, Tampa.
Indy and Tampa, all the same.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Baltimore.
Hold on a second. Come here. Even though we have Baltimore flights, as you can see here,
yeah,
those people bought tickets to go through Indy.
I just want people to understand the miracle of actually getting your bag. I'm thinking, how could it go wrong? The real question is, how can it go right? So where is the proper spot for this Baltimore?
Back on the belt. You get mixed in with this, as Indy may pull it off in Indy and send it up the carousel to the passengers upstairs.
That would be very bad for this person.
We try to keep them separated here, and then we separate them on the plane also.
Coming up.
Now, if you were a real new guy, you're probably getting yelled at about now.
Loading bags into a plane is a new job for me, but in my aptitude for it, it's just like every other job I've ever done.
What am I doing wrong?
Doing it right, you're just not doing it fast enough.
And later.
Deer that's been hit, it gets burned up in here.
Like roadkill?
Yep.
A question. What can you put in an airport incinerator? Answer, yes.
It's hot in here.
Sure it's hot. It's an incinerator. Genius. College boy.
Shane tries to get the luggage to the plane at least 20 minutes before departure. Thank God it's easier to drive the carts than it is to sort the luggage.
How you doing? Mike.
Andy.
Pleasure.
This is good right here.
Pleasure's all yours. You're going to load some bags.
What'd you just hit me with?
Knee pads. You'll need those.
When a man hits you with knee pads.
Hop on in.
All of a sudden, it's becoming very clear to me how I'm going to use these knee pads.
Okay. Obviously, you can't stand up, unfortunately.
Obviously.
Once they start the belt, it doesn't stop till we're done.
All right, so the bags have started, and it seems to be more of them than I thought. We got 2 guys down there feeding them to us. And Andy, is this basically how it goes?
This is basically how it goes.
All right, how do you slow this thing down?
Do you work faster?
This is awful.
If you look at it from the standpoint, it beats working in a factory or something like that.
I don't know, man. You're in the belly of a plane, throwing people's personal items here and there and everywhere. People are watching this right now thinking, gosh, should I bring the extra pair of shoes? Don't bring the extra shoes.
Now, if you were a real new guy, you'd probably get yelled at about now.
Well, feel free to yell at me. I can take it. What am I doing wrong?
Doing it right. You're just not doing it fast enough. But we try to cut a little slack to the new guys.
Well, I appreciate it. Man, how many bags have you seen in your life?
I'd hate to even imagine. A few.
I would say so.
It wouldn't be uncommon if this flight was full, especially toward Christmas, that we would put 150 in there.
There's a third class down here is what we got, basically. Where's the bathroom?
There's one right above there and one in the front.
Bathroom here, bathroom there.
No smoking.
That's basically the way it goes. Day in, day out. It really never stops. There's always a guy like Andy in the back of the plane. There's another guy like Shane down at a T-point. The bags come, the bags go, the planes are empty, and then they're full. The people get on, the people get off, and the wheels on the bus go round and round. Now, we just gotta find somebody to shove this plane out in the tarmac. Who could we get?
Look, I mean, I figure the worst that can happen is you got somebody in first class sipping the wine, I jerk them a little bit, you know.
Well, the worst that could happen is it could come unhooked and be going on its own.
So. I need this kind of pressure?
You're all right.
Come on, man.
We're going to hold off start until we get out there a little ways. He's going to be doing the pushing, so I'm going to try to keep it quiet until we're pretty much out there.
F1?
Forward one.
The vehicle I'm driving is called a pushback tractor. If you're wondering how something this small can move a plane this big, you should know that this tractor weighs over 20 tons.
I'm going to keep it on the white line, right?
Yeah, just kind of try to go straight.
The Boeing 737 is one of the world's most popular commercial passenger jet airplanes, and it's been in continuous production since it was first introduced in 1967. On average, there are about 1,250 airborne worldwide at any given time. One takes off or lands every 5 seconds. In the last 40 years, over 6,000 737s have been ordered, and 5,000 have been delivered into service.
Getting people and their bags to the same place at the same time is hard work, but that's not why we came here today. No, I came here today to tell you something about every single international airport in the country. A secret. A dirty little secret. So this is a pile of garbage, and this is Doug, and that, I'm not sure what it is. Some sort of, what, furnace?
Yes, it's an incinerator.
We burn the trash.
International trash.
We don't burn the domestic trash.
Nope.
Why do we burn the international trash?
Well, it could have bugs in it, any type of stuff that we don't want in the United States. There's also drugs and then confidential papers, just stuff like that.
Let's have a look inside this thing. How often do you clean it?
About every 3 months.
Yeah? When's the last time it was cleaned?
Probably around 3 months ago, so it's ready for you.
Well, this is terrible.
Oh, also we get a deer that's been hit. It gets burned up in here.
Like roadkill?
Yep.
Here at the airport?
Yep, they get out there on the roads, get hit, and they bring them over here and incinerate them.
Okay. How does one go about cleaning this 40-year-old incinerator?
We'll take this elevator down.
Oh, this is the elevator?
Yes.
All right. Raise lower. I'm guessing low. It's kind of shaky. That's normal, right?
Yeah.
Good.
It'll settle down.
Oh, I see. There's a whole second level. It's like a duplex.
We're just going down the basement.
We're going underneath the fireplace, is what we're doing.
Coming up.
I just see orange glowing heat coming out of some sort of hole that you want me to crawl toward.
In jobs, as in life, I like to look at the glasses half full. But when the job is emptying an airport incinerator, the glass is half full of ash.
Look at that. Dave, you've got a little bit of, it looks like ash on your camera.
Oh, nice.
After doing literally hundreds of jobs, one can sense when things aren't going to go well.
Now, this is what we're looking at. This is the ash cart.
Uh-huh.
What we need to do is we're going to open the door drop a little more in here.
Uh-huh.
Then we're going to pull that out, dump it, and if there's still some left up there, then we've got to put it back in there and dump it again.
How do we open that?
Up there on the control panel.
Oh, I got to go back up?
Yep.
Wick, we just got down here, Doug. All right, I tell you what, why don't you go open that up? I'll stay here and keep an eye on things.
All right.
How's that sound? To be honest with you, I'm not 100% sure precisely what's going to happen, but if I understood Doug correctly, he's going to hit some sort of button, which in turn is going to release a lot of the ash in the incinerator, which will cause it to fall into the container behind me, at which point we'll drag it out, dump it, repeat. I could be wrong. I've misunderstood a great deal so far. Okay, Doug, go ahead. Yes, I believe I was correct. I was frankly expecting a great deal more to come out.
Hey, Mike.
Yes, Doug?
Well, we seem to have some technical difficulties, so I'm going to need you up here to shovel.
Yes, we have technical difficulties. The door's stuck. Doug, it seems as though the incinerator's on.
Yes and no. The top of it's on, the bottom of it's not.
I just see orange glowing heat coming out of some sort of hole that you want me to crawl toward. Seems like it's on. Just in?
Okay, right down here. Try to dig a little hole, and stuff will eventually start falling down.
At that point, I figured almost anything that could go wrong would go wrong. The ashes were not falling into the bin.
I tell you what, I'm going to cycle that back and forth and we'll see if some will drop down.
Great. See, I thought the whole thing opened up like that wide, but it only opened up a little bit.
It's supposed to open up bigger.
All right, Doug has decided once again the only way to get the shot is to go into the incinerator, which he's doing right now. It's a little dicey because the floor moves back and forth, and right now the floor is jammed. We have to try and get it open to its full extent. But we don't know if that's possible, so in the meantime, he's going to go ahead and scamper in the back there like Cinder Fella. Good luck there, Dougie. Brave. Sure, it's on. It's an incinerator, genius. College boy. How's it going? Me? Oh, fine. Thanks. So we're headed back down here to see what we can do to get this door situation fixed.
Actually, we could go ahead and dump that.
Why don't we do that?
It's full. I know an easier way.
By all means, don't keep it to yourself. I'll scoot back. This way, if the chain breaks, it should cut me in half cleanly.
Smash you?
Yeah, it's getting pretty close to death for me down here, Doug. I love that sound. That's a sound that says he's going backwards.
It goes slow. It's getting old and tired.
So's the lift. Just dump some ash. Look at that. Dave, you've got a little bit of, it looks like ash on your camera.
Oh, thanks.
first load of ashes has been dumped here at Kansas City International, and we've got a broken incinerator door.
Oh, yeah, here's your problem. You got some garbage stuck in here. Let's see what we're looking at here. Got a flashlight, Doug?
Yes.
Oh, man, okay. So this is what we've been dealing with. Can you see if it'll move again?
Yeah.
All right. Barsky.
Coming up.
Here's the chain. Let's see if we can lift this out of here.
Is that nice talk for I'm going back down there?
Yes.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. But at the Kansas City Airport incinerator, it is broke. And we can't fix it.
Not sure what the hell just happened, but man, I'll never forget it.
You need to push that in.
Oh, of course.
It's all that crap that fell down. Now it's in my way.
Do you want some help?
Yes, please. You want me to come get you?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. I appear to be stuck in a pit. What do you suppose is causing the delay?
I don't know.
Dear God, please let this be broken so we can leave this place forever. Thank you, Lord.
The Lord was on my side. But Doug was determined.
All right, so basically what we got here is a hydraulic lift that's not working. So your suggestion, Doug, is to basically just dump it and then use the machine and chains to pull the whole thing out?
Yeah.
I was just thinking to myself, you know, how could a more horrible job get worse?
I guess this is how. Yeah, those are hot coals. You can tell by the way they're burning. Look, I'm no stranger to things going wrong on the job. But this is crazy. We got a broken door, got broken hydraulics, got a broken lift. I'm inside of a giant oven full of ash.
That's terrible.
What's that I hear in the distance? That sounds like Doug. With chains, perhaps. The sun's setting here at the airport. I'm freezing. Doug's back. What's the plan?
Here's the chain. Let's hook it up. And let's see if we can lift this out of here.
Is that nice talk for I'm going back down there?
Yes. You can just hook it down there anywhere.
Like that?
Yep.
Okay. Oh dear. That looks really close.
Can you reach that small chain and hook it to this other side and then grab onto that bigger chain? Bring that chain over here. Maybe it'll help pull on that other side some. Hook that up there on that.
Is anyone else frightened? Tip it this way?
No.
No!
Get me the hell out of here.
God. Doug, that was exciting.
Hey, I figured you probably would like that.
I'm not sure what the hell just happened, but man, I'll never forget it.
Can you run the loader?
This thing? Sure.
People trust me with machines. I don't know why. How's it work?
Well, there's a steering wheel inside. And there's some levers.
That's all I need to know. This is what Doug does every day. He burns international ash. Foreign ash. Dirty job. Doug.
Yes.
It's getting dark. And me and the fellows were wondering if we could finally burn some trash.
It is ready.
The incinerator has been fired up, and right now, it's a toasty 2,000 degrees inside.
Trash goes in there.
Yep.
Now you want to lift the cart? Go up.
Doug burns an average of 1,200 pounds of international trash every week.
That'd be juice from Mexico.
A hydraulic ram pushes the trash into the incinerator.
As the ram pushes the garbage from international territories into the flame, should we be able to see it through the ash hole?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a fire. That's all kinds of foreign trash burning right there.
Oh, yeah.
So a couple days, this fills back up. It cools down, and in the meantime, we say a little prayer that the door opens the way it's supposed to, and that the lift rises the way it's supposed to.
Hopefully we'll get that fixed, my man.
Hopefully you'll get it fixed. You're a dirty guy, Adam Ball. Thanks a lot.
Well, thank you.
Don't stand too close to the flame.
All right.
You know what's coming, don't you? Yeah, this is the part where I ask you to go to discovery.com/dirty jobs and submit your ideas for dirty jobs. What you might not know is I'm relying on you to do that. I haven't had an original idea in nearly a year and a half, and that's the truth. I'm depending on you to keep me covered. Much obliged. Don't hate me because I'm beautiful. Excuse me. A pleasant good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Captain Rowe here. You're aboard a 737-300. We're going to be cruising at an altitude of about 15 feet, going in a backward direction, primarily approaching speeds of 4 miles an hour. Should be a pretty smooth ride. Don't anticipate any bumps or delays. Oh, look at that. Just like that, the flight's over.